Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. We know that truly there is a word from the Lord, and guess what? It is Holy Week. Amen. We're so happy to be here with you. It's been a busy time for us, and we know that some of you are out celebrating the week of Lent and this Holy Week. So we want to just take some time and say thank you for joining us. We know that definitely we don't take it lightly that you would join us for our broadcast. We just know that this is a wonderful time that the Lord has given us, and this is the work that God has given us to do. Amen. So we would like to go ahead and open with prayer, and also do our announcements. So I'll turn it over to none other than Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Prophetess.
God bless you, everyone. Welcome to our show, Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. This evening's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. On Thursdays, you can find me at 7 p.m. at Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, that is our website. We invite you there. Amen. We are continuously doing some updates, but the website is active, so we definitely ask you to continue putting in your praise reports, your prayer requests as well. If any of you would like information about us, or you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to come at any of your ministerial engagements, on our website, looking on the tab, look for the contact tab, click there, and someone will get in contact with you within 24 hours.
Click there, click the
contact tab.
And the information tab. Amen. Because if you click the tab but you don't put anything in, we'll still have trouble getting to you. Amen. So when you go to the contact us page, prayer requests, information, and speaking invitation. Amen. And there it'll give you a place where you can actually fill out an email and send us the information. Amen. From there we can get back in touch with you. Amen. While I'm speaking here, when God gives us an assignment to go, please, you know, if the Lord is speaking to you, I'm quite sure he's speaking to us as well. And when we you reach out to us and the Lord says connect, and we connect, then he works out the particulars. Amen. and then that way we can focus on the assignment and not the other things that may go along with it. Amen. All right, Prophetess.
Amen. Please also go to our Facebook page, like us there. You can find us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or my page under Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. We would love to hear from you. Let us know what God is doing in your life. Amen. Those are the announcements for this morning, or I should say this evening. We just continue to ask, just bless the Lord for each and every one of you, and thank you for your continuous support. Now let us pray and then get right into this word. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you and bless you, and we praise your holy name. You are great and mighty and greatly to be praised. We glorify your name, God, and we thank you for this day. Lord, even now as we come before you, we humble ourselves in your presence. We ask and invite your presence in right wherever, right where we are, and we also ask that you would touch those who are under the sound of my voice that is listening to this broadcast on this evening, that you would begin to minister to them. Father, we ask that this word will come alive in our hearts and our minds. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that this word will become planted and rooted in us, and that it will bring up a harvest of obedience, a harvest of righteousness, God, a harvest of a mighty fruit of faith, amen, in you, bringing us closer to completing our assignment and our destiny in you. Now, God, we ask that you would wash us and forgive us for all of our unrighteousness. Forgive us for all of our iniquity. Cleanse us in your blood. Wash us in your word on today. Help. We repent before you, God, for all things that were said or done against your will and your word. We bless you. We thank you. Now, we ask that you would touch the apostle's head, touch his heart, put the words of God in his mouth, let him minister with power, amen, with revelation, with understanding this evening as he goes forth with your word. We bless you, we thank you, we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And amen. Thank you for that dynamic prayer. Thank you for allowing me to use you, amen. Now, this evening we want to get into some of the word as the Lord has given us understanding of the word. And there's a scripture that I really want to get into that really says what I need to minister on today. Amen.
Amen.
And it's simply this. Loose the coat. The master has need of him. Amen. Loose the coat. The master has need of him. Amen. It is in the days and times as this that we begin to really deal with how God has blessed us and what he's called us to. And I remember the first time that the Lord brought me to this scripture, and I began to look at it and I began to deal with it. Amen. It was eye-opening, if you will. Eye-opening to the point that I actually began to see the wisdom of God in a different light. It was something that transformed me, if you will, because I have been looking at this whole Holy Week through the eyes of those who were speaking to me, but never, amen, have I actually saw it from what God was saying. And it became very apparent to me that this is something that God is trying to get us to do. Get us to live. We have to live the life of a servant. Jesus is being ushered in here, if you will, into the city, into Jerusalem. Amen. But there are certain things that are being prepared and set for him. And I want you to see these. Now, let's read this from the very beginning. Matthew 21 in the first verse. Amen. And as you begin to see this, then you'll see where we're going. Of course, in Mark 11 and 1 through 10, Luke 19, 29 through 38, and John 12, 12 through 15, we'll see in the synoptic gospels and in the book of John, amen, accountability or this being stated out, or this whole situation or this whole scene being described in great detail. Amen. Tonight we're going to deal with Matthew's gospel so that we can see it, amen, and rejoice in the words here. Now, it simply says here, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. Amen. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say to them, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughters of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid the clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when they had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. First of all, we have to see here that as they were dealing with this, amen, as they were speaking this, amen, in this passage of scripture, they were dealing with the reality that Jesus is being chosen at this point. We understand that this whole thing is around Passover, and it is during Passover when the Paschal lamb is chosen, amen. You have to understand that the Paschal lamb was the lamb that was chosen, amen, to bear the brunt of the sins of the people. It was the blood from that lamb, amen, that caused the Passover to occur. The Bible simply says when the children of Israel were leaving out of Egypt, that when they slew the lamb, amen, and they applied the blood, then the death angel would pass over them. Amen. And I don't want to get too far down into the message before time, but I want you to know that it is important that we recognize that the lamb has been chosen. We know that the lamb is none other than Jesus. Amen. Huh? So now what we have is a choosing of the Paschal. Amen. Amen. Now let's take this and walk it out just a little bit. Amen. If you will. The Bible says here in Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Amen. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, I remember when I began to study into this this passage here, I began to look, if you will, to see exactly what a donkey was. And it sounds common sense, amen. But sometimes our common sense misses the wisdom of God. And God does something so that we can turn around and look back and see that from the very onset of a situation, God was in control of it. Amen. If God was not one who didn't know what was happening and responding at every whim to every movement, but he knew from the very beginning what was happening. Amen. And he at that point began to work on us. Amen. He began to work on us on the situation. He began to work on, amen, the outcome of it. I'm so happy that he knows the end at the beginning. We don't have to worry about it if God is in control, because before you came down this road, God had already decided how this road was going to end, amen. He knew every pitfall. He knew every pothole, if you will. Some people right now are looking, trying to figure out how they can outdo God, but you can't outdo him, because God already knew exactly what he was going to do before he assigned you this pathway. He knew how it was going to play out for you. Amen. So then here we see that Jesus has sent the disciples all the way into a city to get some things that were needful. Amen. And I want you to know that Jesus, when he came, he did not come outside of the law. He did not come outside of the book. He came in fulfillment of it. Amen. So these things had to be done, amen, according to the word. Amen. Isn't it interesting that as you listen to people speak today, they'll tell you everything about the Bible being a book written by men, amen, trying to purport what they want, amen. But what they're actually doing is they're trying to make excuse for why they don't want to believe in the word, amen. But the word proves itself over and over and over again, and yet again it will prove itself again. So now let's deal with this Paschal, amen, because I'm talking to you about Jesus being chosen. First of all, the Paschal lamb is a typical, amen. It is a type of Christ, amen. And we have to see this, amen, because when you understand that the colt, amen, or the lamb, if you will, is a type of Christ, then you'll understand the importance of what's happening here. So let's walk it down just a little bit, if you will. It is a type of Christ, amen, and it is important that when the lamb was chosen, it was chosen a certain way, amen. Let's go to Exodus, the 12th chapter, amen. Amen. Exodus 12:3 says, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the lamb is too, if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need." Amen. Amen. "You shall make your count for the lamb." Listen to this. Let's keep reading just a little bit, because I want you to see this. Amen. This is the type of Christ. He is chosen now. How is he? A male of the first year. You see this? Amen. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." And I wish I had time to really preach this right here, because this right here is something that blessed me when I went through it as I was studying and working here so that I could properly exegete this passage, amen. But you may take it from the sheep or from the goats, amen. And some of you have been good all of your life, and some of you God had to come and get you and remind you that he was in control. And as he began to speak to you, slowly but surely you came into alignment with the will of God, amen. Some of you are still acting like goats out there. I don't have no help in here, amen. I can't really say a lot right here, Lord, but some of you know that you fit the mold, amen. So the male of first year, you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Listen now, "You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month." That is 4 days, amen. "Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat. Then they shall eat the flesh of that night set in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boil at all with water, but roasted in fire. its head with its legs and entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And when what is remained of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with your belts on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So shall you eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Amen. So now we get an account of what the Paschal lamb is and how it is to be treated. It is a male of the first year. Amen. It is without blemish. It is to be taken out of the flock. Amen. And is chosen beforehand. Amen. You see these things? It shall be shut up 4 days that it might be closely examined, and it shall be killed by the people. Amen. See, we have to see all of these things here. Amen. It will be killed at the place where, at the house. Amen. Where it's eaten. Amen. As we go on, we see that it shall be killed at the place where the Lord puts his name. Amen. So as we go on in history, as the celebration of the Passover is continued, it moved from this initial point, from its inaugural setting at the house, to the house of the Lord. Amen. The place where the Lord's name is. Amen. It is killed in the evening. Its blood is to be shed. The blood of it is sprinkled on the lintel and the doorpost. Amen. And those of you who know what that is the top of the doorpost and the two sides. Amen. The blood of that sprinkle is not sprinkled on the threshold, even though it ends up dripping there. Amen. Now, last thing, not a bone of it shall be broken. Now, we could take time and walk it through, but I think we have established that this is just not any lamb. Amen. This is the chosen before time Paschal lamb. Amen. And its point and purpose is for its blood to be applied for the saving of those that it's covering. Sounds like salvation to me. Amen. So then as we begin to look at this, we see then that as Jesus, the Paschal lamb, is choosing for himself, as he's preparing for himself, to fulfill his destiny and his purpose, he has to fulfill the whole word. Amen. Amen. And that's why Zechariah 9:9 is so important. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." Amen. "Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So when I begin to look at this passage, I begin to ask the Lord, "Lord, what would you say to your people? How do I address this? There are certain days and certain times of the year when we need to go in and begin to deal with the reality of the word of God and the time and the season that we are in." Amen. And that time and that season that we are in at this point leads us to resurrection. Amen. But before there can be a resurrection, there must first be a crucifixion. And some of you have to understand that you are refusing to die because you want to live. Well, let me tell you, if you want to live, you need to die. Amen. It is through that process of crucifixion that the flesh is done away with, so that the glorified body can then come into existence. You can't sustain glory in your flesh. Amen. Huh? The glory of the Lord can come to you. It can come upon you, but it can't dwell in you. Amen. See, so you have to get rid of the cursed thing, the thing that causes you separation from God. And you have to understand that at this point, what is actually happening here is God is initiating, amen, or God is fulfilling a covert plan. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
This covert plan that I'm talking about is the plan of salvation. You have to go back to, let's do that, amen. Let's go back to the beginning, if you will. because Satan was trying his best to figure out who Jesus was. He knew something was at hand, but he didn't know what was at hand. He knew the players that may have been that showed the ability or had the attributes, but he yet couldn't prove within himself if this was it. And God not giving him upper hand did not give him what he needed. Amen. Let's go to Matthew, the 4th chapter and the 1st verse. It says, when Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and when he was, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Look at this now. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So God was working something out. Satan knew that his time was coming up. He knew something was happening. He saw all the movement.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to the virgin birth. Gabriel has come here to do what? What is Gabriel doing? His eyes were not privy to it. And let me just share this with you, because some of you have to understand simply that Satan does not have omnipotence. He does not have omniscience. Amen. Mm-hmm. He is not all powerful. He is not everywhere. Amen. He doesn't know everything. Amen. So he has to go and seek and try to understand and try to figure out. Amen.
Yeah.
We see this in Job, the 1st chapter. Amen. When he said, where have you been? He said, I've been going to and fro seeking who I might devour. If he had all knowledge, he would know who he could devour. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
If he had all knowledge, then he would have known that this was to Christ.
Right.
But now, instead of him knowing it, he's testing to see if it is. If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. Amen. And look at what he says. Fourth verse. But he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. Huh? Second one. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.
Right.
Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So Satan now has not gotten the answer he's looking for, because surely being hungry, the bread thing should have sounded real good. Being the Son of God, you should be able to demonstrate your anointing and your authority in the earth. Amen?
Amen.
You see this? So now he's not getting what he's looking for, being frustrated. He takes him up again to test him a third time. Surely, you know, you're not falling for any of those. So let me just get straight to what I want. And if this happens, I'd already know that I got it, okay? I've tested your hunger. I've tested your status. Now let me test your flesh.
Ah.
Amen. And again, the devil took him up on a exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Amen. And some of you, you have failed this test, because when the devil came tempting you with fame and greatness, you ran after that saying it is God's will. But you forgot to say which God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. Amen.
And
he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. See, we have to understand that even at this point, Satan has already given up and he's just going straight at it now.
Amen.
I can't trick you into it. I can't entice you into it. So let me just show you what I'll give you if you would just do it. Amen. Then first, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. 11 verse said, and the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Now, Let me show you this ministering, amen. Because when Jesus is tempted at the very beginning of this, he has gone 40 days and nights without food. He is fasting. Surely he's weakened at this point.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And to be able to deal with this, huh? He has to be able to deal with this in the strength, amen, of the anointing. Because his flesh is weak. Amen. Now, understand, when does this testing happen? It happens at the end of him being baptized, coming out of the water. The Father speaks of him, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." We see the Holy Spirit descend upon him as a dove. Amen. And at that point, he is driven into the wilderness for fasting and to be tempted. It is after this success that he begins his ministry. Now, you can go back into the book of Genesis and see the same circumstance here. The serpent comes to talk to Eve and ask certain questions. And Eve fails at this point. Amen? This is where Adam could have stood up and redeemed Eve, but he failed too. So the second Adam, Jesus, is given an opportunity at this point to fall as well. But he does not. He is successful, amen? And now we see him begin his ministry, amen? So at the end, when we begin to look at everything that's going on, we see that he has been tempted, he has been tried, he has gone through. Satan has not gotten a victory. Jesus has gone through and demonstrated everything that he needs to demonstrate. And now we get to the very beginning of this week of passion for him. And at the beginning of this passion, he begins to walk into, he begins to set himself to go into Jerusalem. Amen. So now he seeks out a donkey.
All
amen.
Right.
And a coat. And when I think about a donkey and a coat, I'm quite sure I'm just like a lot of you. I do not think of the most intelligent of animals. Amen. I do not think of an animal that is known to be intelligent in what it does. It is known to be stubborn, if you will. It seems to have a mind of its own and will not do what you ask it to do. Amen. You need to ask the prophet Balaam. Amen. What was going on with his donkey at the time that he began to beat it. Amen. Because surely the donkey was getting with his program. Amen.
Right.
So it seems like a donkey would not be the operable or the optimum choice to come in. Surely a steed or something of that level would be more apropos for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Well, when you study this and go back and look at it, you'll note that only the kings and noblemen, the royalties, rode on donkeys. We are not introduced to horses like that until later on, amen?
Mm-hmm.
So the donkey was the way to go, and you had to be somebody to ride upon it, amen? But now let's deal with the other aspect of a donkey, amen? A donkey is known to be stubborn, but a donkey is not really stubborn as it is smart.
Mm.
Very intelligent animal. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Listen, they are beasts of burden. And you, if you ever meet anyone who has worked with a donkey, amen, you'll find out that they work with the donkey. Let me say that again. They work with the donkey. Have you ever noticed that when the donkey, the beast of burden, is carrying a load, that he's not carrying the load and the people?
True.
He's carrying the load, and he and his handler are walking.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? So that when you get tired and you want to rest, the donkey can rest too. Let's put some scripture behind this. Amen. It is so important that how we take care of them and who they are that God commanded us to rest them. Amen. Look at this. Exodus 23 and 12. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and your son and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. Amen. So everybody gets to rest at some point. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? Look at how important it is. Luke 13:15. Amen. They're talking about Jesus and the Sabbath. Amen. Look what he says. The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his own ox and donkey from the stall and lead it right away to water?" They're cared for. They're taken care of. In other words, these were the Mercedes of the day. Amen. You like that, huh? Huh? So, if something is wrong with the donkey, if something happens to the donkey, if something is done to that donkey, the donkey needs to be redeemed. All right. Some of y'all ain't ready for this, but I'm gonna take you here. Let's go to Exodus, amen. 34:20, amen. It says, "But the firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb." Is that what you say?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? "And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break his neck." Oh. Oh. So that means that the firstborn donkey is regarded the same as a firstborn son. How are you going to say that? Keep reading. "All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem."
Yep. No one shall abandon.
You see that? "And none shall appear before me empty-handed." So, isn't it interesting that even in this, the donkey and a firstborn son, firstborn of a donkey, the firstborn of the sons has to be redeemed by, or the donkey has to be redeemed with a lamb. The firstborn of your sons you shall redeem. Amen. You see that? And no one, none of them, the donkey or the son, can appear before him empty-handed.
That's what he said.
So now let's look at this then. Jesus is going in. Huh? You see that? Riding on a donkey. And when he goes in to ride upon a donkey, amen,
all right,
he is going in to deal with the business, if you will, of redemption. The donkey that he's riding in on is spoken of in Zechariah 9:9. But we just saw there in Exodus, we saw that redemption wasn't just for the males, just for the humanity. It was for everything. Isn't it interesting that we're given a commandment to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Well, I don't know how to speak dog. Preach the gospel. That dog will understand, trust me. Amen. The cat will understand. The hamster is going to understand. Your goldfish is going to understand. You understand? And the donkey understand. When the donkey was brought to him, you have to understand that there's a process that has to go on when you are breaking in a donkey. You cannot put a load on that donkey unless that donkey, or else that donkey was kick and bray and throw off the load.
Okay.
You see that? So this is the first time that this donkey has ever been ridden. And yet and still, it does not attempt to throw Jesus. It does not attempt to it won't set down under the load because it doesn't want to. This is some rodeo time. Amen. Someone said, well, you know, that was Jesus. No. This brings me to my points that I want to make tonight. Amen. If you're going to be used by God, point number one, you have to be like this donkey. Mm-hmm. Amen. And what is that? It is pliable to your assignment. Amen. You can't tell God all of your life. You've been told that if somebody try to put something on your back, you have to see them. They have to walk around with that donkey and they put something on its back like a mat so it gets mm-hmm. used to something mm-hmm. being there. And they have to get it used to that being there so that it doesn't throw that off and begin to bray and kick up and everything. And after they break it into that with that mat on its back, that's a process all by itself. Then they add a little saddle on it. So it gets used to a little weight then. So now it's used to that little pad on its back, and now it gets a saddle, and it starts to feel things bumping up against its side, but yet and still, it's not used to it. So it has to go through a process of being broken in with that. This is before anything gets on its back as far as a human.
Yep.
See, we're not talking about something that happens in quick succession. This may take days. It may take weeks to do. Some of you have been using the excuse that I can't do what God has called me to do because it's going to take me a while to get ready to do what God said. You're not pliable to the assignment. When he's ready to use you, you have to dispel and drop yesterday. Drop what you used to do. Drop the commonality factor of this, and that is that we commonly do it this way. We're known for this. This is our comfort zone. God will call you out of the comfort zone. Notice that this donkey was still being tied up with its mother.
Yeah.
You see that? That means that it was still nursing. You see that?
Okay.
I'm not ready. I'm not mature enough. If God can use a donkey, he can use a child. Amen. And the child shall lead us. Thou hast perfected praise through the mouth of babes. Don't tell us when you're ready.
Right.
God will tell you when he's ready for you. After all, he knows why he called you. Amen?
True.
So why are you trying to qualify in your mind why you don't have to go? You're simply being disobedient. And God is already challenging us to be obedient. Amen? Amen. So now then, here we are. We're dealing with this donkey. The donkey's pliable. Number two, the donkey leaves its normal character
mm-hmm.
to do what he is commanded to do.
Okay.
I told you his character was to be broken before it can be used.
Mm-hmm.
And here, in one fell swoop, they lay their coats on his back.
Right.
They set Jesus upon him. And then they walk him and Jesus into the town. Others begin to lay their coats out. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And their clothing out. Amen. Some first say they brought the donkey and the coat and laid their clothes on them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So now, what is beautiful about this is that oftentimes, prophetess and I are dealing with spiritual children, we're dealing with church members, we're dealing with those in ministry, and people think that you have arrived and they're going to arrive eventually.
Right.
But I want you to know we're all arriving together.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? There's some things that I'm working on that God is working through me. There's some things that we're trying to get together because God is still getting me to lose some things and pick up some things. Amen? Huh? That means I don't have it perfect yet. Yet and still I'm being perfected through him. Amen? So as I'm leading you, then you follow me and we both arrive together. You see that? Paul said it like this. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say you need to come up where me and Christ is. He kept the movement factor in there. Follow me as I follow Christ. I'm still following after. I'm still seeking after him. I still have a desire for him. I have not arrived. I have not made it. I'm still on my way to where I'm going, but I'm still progressing. Amen? Amen. So he says here, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. We're moving forward. We're moving into the things that God has called us to. The third and final thing I want to show you here, amen, is that the people who were around him took their clothes. You see that? A verse, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from trees and spread them on the road. Amen? Now, why is that important? It's important because you have to understand, I just read for you that the firstborn donkey had to be redeemed and all firstborn males had to be redeemed. Amen? Mm-hmm. And here Jesus is here to redeem all of humanity. Amen? And all of creation back into its original purpose. He is now chosen as the Paschal Lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The Holy Lamb of God is being chosen by all the congregation, those who are out here, they are choosing him. Why is that important? Because as they are taking off their clothing, you have to understand that clothing is symbolic of what covers you. Amen? Yeah. Clothing covers you. So all of your flaws and your inconsistencies, all your blemishes and other idiosyncrasies are covered by your clothing. Your hair ain't quite right. You throw a hat on. Your body isn't quite right. You go ahead and throw on something. No one sees you got a blotch over here or a scar over here. It is covered. They took off their covering. Amen. And cast it down before Jesus. This right here is important for you to catch. Catch it. Amen. Jesus is now being chosen as the one that is going to cover them as they come out of the exodus of a sinful life, of a unredeemed life, amen, and lifestyles into ones that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. So now they are choosing the Lamb. And he goes into Jerusalem. Then the multitude who went before him and those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Remember now when Jesus came in, he was considered the Son of David. Why the Son of David? Because there was a promise that one of David's seeds will always be on the throne, amen, in Jerusalem, amen. Huh? So his household would always reign. And from that point, they would reign forever. So when they said, blessed, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes to the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest, they were celebrating the Paschal Lamb, but also Emmanuel. They were celebrating the one that came in the name of the Lord, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, amen. Over 3 years of ministry and demonstrating signs and wonders, the integrity, the character of Christ. Amen. The wisdom, the teaching, amen. All the instruction that have gone forth now is being celebrated by the people. They have chosen their land. We have to see that God is still working with us. We're still choosing the land. I still choose the King. And this this servant king here. His blood will be shed for me. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. After this blood is shed, I don't have to worry about my sinful nature, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, because that issue is taken care of. After this, I don't have to worry about being worthy to approach my Heavenly Father, because it is through the blood that now I can come in and say, I've been washed, I've been clean. I can cry out to the Lord and say, Abba, Father. It is through the spirit of adoption that I have rights as an heir. Huh? I am a child of God because the blood has connected me through infusion into the body. We need this blood to flow. Look what was said at the very end. 10th verse, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And today, when you have a true encounter with your king, when you choose him, people will still be asking that question today. Who is this? Who is this who comes in the name of the Lord?
Yes,
who is this who has changed your life? See, some of you are trying to be saved but don't want nobody to know it, just in case. Well, you know, I ain't perfect. Stop trying to be perfect and just be redeemed.
That's it.
People will see that there's something different about you. All this tumult out here, all of this noise and everything else, for what? Why is this important? So the people can see that this is the Christ.
Yes.
After seeing him choose him, after choosing him benefit from their choice. When you get saved, understand that now is time for you to celebrate Jesus. Amen. At this time, this season, as we're going forward, this is our time to celebrate him. Amen. We celebrate the Christ. We celebrate our choosing him. We celebrate all that he's done for us. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Now, when people come and ask you what's going on and what's happening and who is this, you can say, this is the Christ. Amen? Look what they said. So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, this didn't come from your reading self-help book. This did not come from you attending a motivational seminar. This did not come from a conversation and a couple of sessions with your life coach. You see this? This came from an encounter with Jesus. And today, you need to make that same decision. You need to choose him today. So we're in this Holy Week. We talk about different things. The Paschal being chosen. 4 days later, the Paschal is slain. 3 days later, he gets up. We talk about the first day, amen. We talk about all the legalities. And let me just share this with you. The world and Satan will sit back and inspire people to talk about the legalities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Easter was a pagan holiday celebrated by Ashtoreth, and Esther, and all of them, and all those other fertility gods, the eggs, the bunnies, and all those other things that are used. And we have in our churches grabbed hold of all of those pagan icons and brought them in a way to identify with the world so that they can come in and hear about Christ. But all we've done is we've celebrated their holiday and threw Jesus on top of it. Brothers and sisters, let's let the crazy go and celebrate Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. I don't have a problem with Cadbury eggs. I love them. They're so good. They taste wonderful. I love Reese's Reese's eggs and stuff like that because I like Reese's cups. I love jelly beans. Amen. And we're not even going to talk about peeps. Amen. Prophet's over here laughing right now. We're not talking about any of those things. But what I will tell you is that all of that is just candy to me. Doesn't hold a meaning to me. Amen. To some people, it still holds meaning. What holds meaning to me, and I don't celebrate Easter, I celebrate Resurrection Sunday.
Yes.
Because when we talk about he got up, that right there is the difference between Buddha. Buddha laid down on his side and ain't got up yet. Huh? There's others who have died and have not gotten up.
Sure.
You see, I don't care how immaculate you try to make their birth and everything else. And isn't it interesting, I'm just going to say this and leave it alone. Isn't it interesting that other religions try to find their way into the virgin birth so that they can say that they have a true way? But everything that's not Christ, it's a lie. Nothing personal, just a reality. It's not about the legalities of who was born first. When I shout now Ishmael over Isaac, doesn't matter to me.
Right.
Christ came through the seed of David. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And God chose who he wanted to choose. So the blessing shall not be through Ishmael, even though he shall be blessed.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
But the blessing shall be through Isaac. That's who God chose. So I choose God's choice as well. As we celebrate this holiday here and this Holy Week, recognize and realize that it's not Good Friday, it's Holy Thursday. Amen? That he died.
Yeah.
But he got up 3 days later. Huh? That's why we celebrate the first day of the week, which would be Sunday for us. Amen? Before they changed the first day of the week to Monday, Sunday was the first day. So let's still follow those legalities. Thank you, Lord, after all is said and done, for dying for me, for dying for my sin. I'm eternally grateful. I know I'm not worthy and never could have been, but yet and still you saw in me greatness and you still chose me. So I choose you. Amen.
Yes.
Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this opportunity to minister this word. Lord, you're so awesome in all that you do. We don't take it lightly because we know our shortcomings. Lord, we thank you because you have looked past us. And you look past us enough to see your son. And you look past us enough to see your son's blood applied to us. So we thank you for that. We ask even now, Lord, that you would help us to go forward and demonstrate the power of the cross, the power of resurrection, the power of the kingdom of God, not looking towards any of these false theologies or ideologies, but truly worshiping you as Lord and Savior. Now, Lord, I pray for those who may not be saved. I pray in their lives, Lord, that they will simply, through introspection, that they would choose you. And if they do so, Lord, I pray that they pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church where they may be matured and go on to live this kingdom lifestyle. There's so much that they have to do. Development, maturity, growth. Help them now, Lord, to walk in your precepts. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are sick. I pray for those who are shut in. I pray for those who need miracles, signs, and wonders to manifest in their life. I speak now and I touch and agree with them that you get the glory out of every miracle, sign, and wonder that occurs, every resource, every way that's made, every healing that occurs. By your stripes we are healed. We take hold of it in Jesus' name. We pray. Thank you, Father, in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you learn more about us. The website is the old website is still up, so it's still operational. But on that website, you can become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophet McQueen.
A Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Happy Holy Week to you. We look forward to ministering to you on Thursday and then again on Saturday morning. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.